Disclaimer, I am a counseling student, I am not a mental health professional, and I cannot give or offer mental health services. Hello everyone, welcome to Good You. My name is Samantha, and today we are going to be talking about self-care. I'm really excited to talk about this topic because I feel like it's just kind of like a little small topic, and this might be a short episode, but self-care is so, so important, and it's really important in the therapy profession as well. So when we talk about it today, I'm going to talk about my journey of self-care as well, and we can give a little view of what self-care looks like, some options for people, because everyone's self-care is different, and hopefully you can start your self-care journey today. So I hope you guys are excited. Let's get started. Okay, so self-care, let's get into it. So self-care, I think, is definitely one of the more requested topics that I've had. And I think it's because a lot of people have all these different opinions about what it is and what it looks like. And they're confused when these forms of self-care that they're told to try don't work for them. And so today we're going to learn about what self-care would look like for you and what it looks like for me. And just know that it looks differently for everyone. And if you haven't found something yet that you think is your form of self-care that works the best for you, then hopefully today's podcast really helps identify that. So self-care is a way for us to nourish our bodies and our minds. And when we become exhausted or drained, and maybe even find ourselves lashing out or short-fused, we find ourselves ignoring our needs, and we probably are not engaging in self-care like we need to be. So if you ever find yourself in those anxious thoughts in your mind where you feel like you just need a break from everything, this is what is going to help you the most. Practicing consistent self-care is going to be the best thing for you. It helps you physically, spiritually, mentally to relax. So the examples you've probably heard about are the average examples of yoga, meditation, taking a bubble bath, journaling, going on a walk, anything like that. And those are great. Those are great forms of self-care. But sometimes they just don't fit everyone. So maybe yours is going to the gym, or maybe cooking a homemade meal at home where you're in the kitchen and listening to your favorite songs and dancing and cooking. That could be your form of self-care. It looks like so many different things, and that's why it's important to narrow down yours. What are you going to be the most consistent with? That's also important to narrow down. So some other forms of self-care that go out of the norm of what you hear would be, this whole podcast, counseling. Going and seeking counseling and therapy is an excellent form of self-care. It allows us to manage our emotions, learn coping skills, and get tools for how to manage our anxieties in the real life situations that we find ourselves in. So, yes, I go to therapy. Many therapists go to therapy. It's a great way to be able to manage those emotions and care for ourselves and our needs. So outside of therapy, something else we find that could be self-care is to lower our screen time. How often do you find yourself scrolling through social media, on the computer at work, watching TV, playing video games? The average American screen time is 7 hours and 11 minutes a day. leaving not much time during the day outside of our screen time, because we also have about 8 hours of average sleep per day as well. So if we can replace some of our screen time and make time for self-care, whether that's any of the things I've named before or something important that we tend to ignore because of our screens, is nature. That's something that I wish, and I am going to, I want to do more often, is just be and spend time in nature, because nature is where humans are just supposed to be. We crave the outdoors. We crave the visuals of the outdoors, the feeling of air, of fresh oxygen. And about 93% of our lives, on average, is spent inside. And when you think of how large of a number that is, and think, I'm spending all that time indoors away from the beautiful outside, it really puts things into perspective. How much time am I ignoring spending outside by being on my phone and looking at other people be outside, right? Like, I'm scrolling through social media, seeing people enjoying a boat ride or laying by the pool, and here I am inside and not realizing that I could be doing the same thing. So not only are there the average self-cares that we've heard of, but there's things that we probably haven't considered that we do every single day, just like the screen time. There's also the thoughts that go through our head, and the average person has about 60,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot. Maybe it's as simple as, gotta get to the car. Where are my keys? Oh, I have to make sure I do those dishes later. But 80% of our thoughts on average are negative. And when we're constantly thinking of negative things, repetitive every day, that's going to really put a damper on our mindset. And that's why a lot of people talk about positive thinking. And obviously there's a toxic amount of positive thinking, which maybe we can talk about in a future episode. But it's important to be able to think in a more positive light, at least more than the 20% that we're getting every day. Because then we're causing more and more stress to our minds and our bodies. Stress doesn't just affect our minds and our emotions. It physically can affect our bodies more than people realize. And that's why it's important that we live healthy lifestyles as humans, which includes eating healthy and exercising. And something that I talked about last episode is that I don't like to use the word dieting, because it should be more like a lifestyle of how we eat. In America especially, it's made so difficult to eat healthy. There's chemicals in our foods that make it addictive, and we get stuck in these negative eating patterns. But that has such a huge effect on the way we feel. And the foods that have high sugar content, processed meats, drinks and high sugar, caffeine, and alcohol, which are all consumed the most, increase the anxiety the most out of any other foods, which means we're just continuously harming our bodies physically and mentally. And of course, I'm not saying don't treat yourself, you know, treat yourself to that donut or that coffee or that glass of wine if you're 21 or over. But we need to know when it's becoming too much and when we're starting to indulge in a comforting way rather than in a treatful way. And that's why what we put in our bodies is also a form of self-care. And moving is a form of self-care. Exercise, moving our bodies, it naturally reduces anxiety and depression. And what better form to do that than to be able to have that medicine on us, right? We have that power to do so. Now, I'm not saying it's going to eliminate it. You're not going to have your anxiety completely gone from exercise and nutrition, but it does decrease it. And it not only does that, but it improves your self-esteem and your cognitive functioning as well. So it's the way we treat our minds, the way we treat our bodies. It really leads into how we care for ourselves and if we're putting our needs first or not. And beyond the physical and the mental, what about our actions that can help or that can be considered self-care? So beyond what I've named so far, what about quitting that job that's not serving you, serving any purpose? What about ignoring a phone call from someone you don't feel like speaking to, or staying home on the weekend because you just need some time to yourself? Any of that as well is going to be considered self-care. And it's not selfish to do those things. Our society has become so instantaneous. Everyone requires such instant gratification that you get people who are upset when you don't answer the phone right away. And that's so unreasonable. People have lives, okay? And I think back to when I was younger and I had a flip phone. It wasn't like this. It wasn't like as easy as a text. I mean, text messages were money, okay? You spent money on those text messages. So you weren't really texting people. You had minutes on your cell phone, couldn't call people for too long. And now you can talk as long as you want all day. You can text all day. You can be on Instagram all day. And now it's gotten to the point where people have these expectations out of you that you don't have to say yes to. So talking here is just a healthy form of boundaries, going back to episode 3. Forming boundaries is a form of self-care, and that could look like many things. So obviously there are so many different forms of self-care. What matters is that you choose something that helps you and that works for you. And that's going to be different for everyone. So, but why is it important? Why should I engage in self-care? Why should I even practice this? Well, because life is stressful. It's not supposed to be this easy walk in the park where every day we're just, you know, living our life to the fullest. Most of us have jobs that we don't feel like going to. We have errands we have to run and get done. We have a house to keep after. We have animals maybe or kids to look after. And we forget ourselves a lot of the time. And it's important to put ourselves first because we can't pour from an empty cup. We can't help others or give to others when we aren't feeling our own needs. This causes burnout. And what is that? What is burnout? Burnout is extreme exhaustion. It's the result of prolonged emotional, physical, and mental stress with no break or reset for anything. You're constantly on the go. You're not taking any time for yourself. You're not practicing any self-care. And here you are. You're exhausted. Maybe now you're lashing out at people. You have a short fuse. Now you're not helping anyone. You're not helping yourself. You're not helping others like you want to, but you can't. And self-care helps us get back emotionally, mentally, and physically. Because the more we stress, the more strain we put on our bodies and our minds, and we need that healthy outlet. So it requires checking in with yourself. That's why we have those mental health check-ins that, you know, ask, are you getting a full night of sleep every night? Are you drinking enough water, staying hydrated? Are you getting out of the house? You know, what do you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself? Are you doing it? And try to be consistent about it. As that's probably the most difficult step, is the consistency of self-care. Because life, like I said, is stressful. It throws you curveballs. And maybe some weeks, obviously, are going to be extremely more hectic than others. And you're going to be packed to the brim of work to do, maybe things you put off, and now you have a full week of just go, 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 getting stuff done. Well, you still have to make sure that you are taking care of yourself, especially during those times. And the more consistent you are with self-care, the more drastic of a difference it's going to make in your life. And whether that's you doing a daily meditation or you journaling, hitting the gym a few days a week, whatever it is, there are times you need self-care that won't be as consistent. So maybe I really need a girls' night with my friends. I really just need to hang out with them, see them, talk with them. That is a form of self-care. And then there are times where I'm like, dang, I really need a break from the world right now and just want to lay in bed all day. That's another form that won't be as consistent. You're not going to have every day where you're not doing anything. So self-care, it's so important to me and to the mental health profession in general, because it's really required out of mental health professionals. In the ACA Code of Ethics, and ACA stands for American Counseling Association, in the Code of Ethics, it states that we are required to engage and practice self-care. And this Code of Ethics is a guide for counselors to follow in order to be ethically responsible professionals. So in order for us to properly help treat clients and practice therapy, we have to be taking care of ourselves. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to take care of our clients. And you know, counselors hear a lot of things, see a lot of things that aren't always easy to listen to or see. And it's important that they're engaging in that act of self-care in order to work through things that they're witnessing or listening to. For me, self-care has definitely been a journey for me. I can tell y'all that I'm just amazing at keeping up with my self-care, and I'm extremely consistent, but I would be an absolute liar. I really try my best, but I have bad habits of ignoring my daily self-care routines. So some weeks I'm super consistent and I get all my self-care done. I'm like really on the ball. But then there are weeks that go on where I haven't done any self-care, really, for the most part. But what matters is that I'm being honest with myself and that I need to work on that. And I know I do. It's something I talk about in therapy. I have a self-love coach right now that we're working on ways that I can really form my self-care and ground myself more. So I'm actively seeking the help and need for consistency. And that's, like I said, the hardest part. And, you know, I have to say I've gotten pretty good at some of the self-care that I do, like my boundary setting in certain areas. But then there's that consistency of, am I doing my daily meditations? Am I going to the gym? Am I not drinking too much caffeine? You know, so I'm currently on that week of wanting to really focus on that self-care. And I really want to try to make this a permanent thing. Don't try to do so much self-care and make everything consistent so much at one time that it becomes too much and then you end up giving up more quickly. Implement one form of self-care, one new form that you haven't done. Maybe that's writing down what you're grateful for at the end of the day. Whatever it is, make sure you try to pick just one thing, because if you implement too many at once, then it becomes overwhelming. It's not as stress relieving as it's supposed to be. And it becomes more of a chore. And that's not what it's supposed to feel like. I realize, you know, I use the excuse that I don't have time, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. I use a lot. I am one of those average people, maybe above average for screen time. You know, I work at a job that I sit in front of a computer all day. I now have a podcast where I sit on a computer and edit my podcasts once a week. I am on my phone on social media, posting for this podcast and looking on my own feed, watching Instagram reels or TikToks. I think that if I were to say, I know now that when I say that I don't have time, I'm lying to myself, because I do have the time. I spend a lot of time on my phone, watching TV, and I really want to make an effort to take some of that time and put it towards my self-care. Even 10 minutes a day starting out is huge, and you will see the difference in those 10 minutes. So, you know, make sure when you're starting your self-care journey that you do some research, try things out. If it's not working, you don't have to stay with that. Try something new. But just because something didn't work for you doesn't mean to just give up on looking for what's going to work for you, because I am guilty of that. Journaling didn't work for me, so I'm going to take a break from trying to find what works for me for self-care. No. I can try meditating. I can take a bubble bath that night instead. I can light some candles, you know, cook a nice homemade meal, whatever it is that I think that's going to help me the most, get out of my head, get into the more present state of mind that I need to be in. That's what I need to focus on, and that's what I need to do. So I hope y'all learned a lot from today's episode. I know this was a really short episode. There's only really so much I can tell you about self-care. This is a you journey, and just make it that. What make it something fun for you? Make it something that you are excited to try out. I'm really excited to try journaling in the morning time while I eat breakfast instead of scrolling on my phone or watching TV. I also want to try some form of dance therapy, but I know that might not be an everyday occurrence. I really want to try to be, like I said, consistent, and that means taking one thing at a time. Even in your eating, in your exercising, take one thing at a time. Do not try to overwhelm yourself, and because it's going to make you take some steps back instead of forward. So if you have any questions for me regarding self-care, or if you honestly, if you have anything, any recommendations for an episode for this podcast, shoot me a message on Instagram at goodyou.therapy, and I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope I can hear from you. I will catch y'all later. Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DREAMSCAPE, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.